Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be drilling down into a number of UK equities and first of all, touching on some of the key macro themes out there at the moment. And to do that once more, we're joined by Alan Green. Alan, thank you very much for being with us this morning.
Morning, John. Thank you. Good to be here.
So we've got a particularly interesting, I feel, Alan, week in markets because we're starting to see some of these concerns actually start to play out in equities. We've been speaking through the month of August, you know, typified by lower volumes in markets. We've seen the grind higher here in the UK and over in US markets in the face of, you know, what was pretty gloomy and depressing forecasts in terms of inflation and looking at GDP and growth figures for that period. But just in the last few days, we've started to see markets drop. And, you know, it really sort of goes back to this notion of markets when they're going up, it's like climbing a long set of stairs. And when they fall, it's like coming crashing down in an elevator. And that's certainly what we've seen in the FTSE 100 in the last few days. You know, we've given up roughly sort of 5% in markets. Looking at where we were, I think even just last week when we spoke on the podcast, Alan, it was about 7,500. We're now looking at a print beneath 7,200 on the FTSE 100. So, you know, when we're looking at this situation, Alan, I mean, do you think this is markets playing catch up with the news that we've seen, or do you think there's been, you know, given that there's been, you know, increased comments from the central banks, of course, at the end of last week, we had Jackson Hole, Jerome Powell there wasn't overly optimistic about the markets, and he didn't give anybody much hope that he would be turning around his pace of interest rate hikes. I mean, do you think that's been the catalyst, or do you think it's just simply a case of people coming back from holiday, looking at the bigger picture and thinking we shouldn't be at these higher levels?
I think people are still on holiday, actually, John, to be honest with you. But I think we've got this wall of worry, haven't we? We've got all of these factors that are impacting on markets. Of course, we've got the Ukraine-Russia war rumbling on. We have uncertainty over the ongoing COVID strains that might re-emerge. China's policy on dealing with that, and of course, it's saber rattling with Taiwan. We've got all of this cocktail of events and possible outcomes that people are trying to factor into their forecasts, and of course, that means the indices will trade positively on good news, and then when negative news comes out, such as the rather bearish outlook from Jackson Hole, that of course then brings the markets back down again. So we're just, in my view, seeing a normal range-bound or a normal trading pattern, the FTSE very much range-bound, and of course impacted positively or negatively by news that's released by the major constituents of the marketplace. But of course, at the moment, there's very little news around. It's a bit quiet. So of course, we have to trade on what we can see and the macro factors that impact the markets as we go forward. But I don't think there's been a colossal collapse. I don't think there's been a catastrophic collapse yet in the markets. The markets are looking forward, as they always do, 6 to 9 months, and trying to anticipate what's going to happen. And at the moment, we're still seeing light volumes, and I don't think we'll see any meaningful increase in volumes or liquidity in the markets until probably the middle end of September.
Indeed, indeed. So I just want to pick up on something that you said there, Alan, and that's focusing around company announcements. And of course, we've had half years out in the last few months, which have been, you know, relatively upbeat. You know, there was a good second quarter of 2022 in terms of earnings. But, you know, really want to focus today on dividend payers. Yeah. Because, of course, when you're looking at, you know, markets like this that could potentially have significant levels of volatility thrown in into the mix going forward. Investors, of course, will start to look to dividend payers, high income stocks, as a way of mitigating any volatility, looking for compensation during a wait for capital appreciation. And you know, looking at the FTSE 100 over the last few days and looking at some of the dividend payers out there, Alan, I think that's something that we're going to focus on today. And you know, look at these companies and look at some of these high yields and think whether the historical yields are really set to be slashed or could indeed be maintained. And whether you know, you're looking at these companies that are yielding 10% and above and thinking, are we going to be able to get that going forward? So, you know, when we're looking at the FTSE 100's top dividend payers, we have, and this is based on historical dividends, looking at Persimmon is the top one, 15.9%, Rio Tinto, 12.1%, Antofagasta, 10.9%, Aberdeen, 9.9%, and M&G, 9.3%. Now, Aberdeen has been confirmed that they're going to be demoted to the FTSE 250, so we take them out of the equation for now. But if we take each of these, Alan, and we sort of look, first of all, at Persimmon, you know, a historical yield there, 15.9%, you know, that's, you know, astronomical. You know, to have a FTSE 100 company get that sort of yield would be fantastic. But I think that has to come with some caveats. So, you know, looking at Persimmon, Alan, and looking at their dividend policy in particular, and taking into consideration that we're getting, you know, negative comments coming out about the housing market, but we've just had the nationwide housing index show that, again, in August, there was a 10% increase in prices year on year, although that was down from 11% on the year prior. It's slowing, but still 10%. I mean, when you're looking at Persimmon, that over the last 10 years has been a huge dividend payer, I mean, is there any chance of getting a 15% yield at current prices, or do you think this is the payouts are set to fall?
It's a very good point. The strength of the UK housing market is legendary. Of course, we're a finite territory, so we're an island, so space is always at a premium, and I think that's one of the reasons for the incredibly resilient housing market that we're seeing at the moment. But there is bound to be a correction at some point, and it may just be. I believe it will just be a gentle correction. I mean, if we look at Persimmon's half-year announcements to 30th of June, we spoke about this, of course, a few weeks ago, 1.7 billion revenues, pre-tax profits of 440, slightly down on previously. But it's the strength in the company is driven by house prices. A very strong forward order book, which increased from last year was 2.23 billion, 2.3 billion for next year. So it's showing no signs of a downturn. And I think that's going to be the key to supporting it. Whether, as you say, the pressures of cost inflation, of course, building material costs, we know are going up all the time. And it's not just the actual costs as well. There have been issues with availability too. Of course, some material shortages, although it doesn't seem to have affected Persimmon, because companies like Persimmon make sure that they can secure supplies and they have a very complex operation in place to ensure that continues, as of course to the other house major house builders. But it is totally reliant on the housing market, so buying Persimmon is a bet on the housing market. Whether, given the share price has fallen steadily from a year high of nearly £30 a share to £14.50, so we're right on those year lows now, whether that 16% dividend yield can be maintained is unlikely, because of course it means the value of the company has fallen, and of course if there's any impact on earnings going forward, then that will have to be reflected in the payout. But certainly at the moment, given the primary driver for Persimmon, the value in Persimmon is, and well, our house prices, I don't see it really falling off a cliff. I think we're likely to see a further reduction in the share price going forward, but I don't think it's going to fall off a cliff. And therefore, you know, if you can get in at this level, and even even for one period, collect that dividend, then you know it's a pretty solid investment.
Yes, yes. I mean, you know, looking at how they've changed their dividend policy, well, not changed their dividend policy, but changed their payout based on their dividend policy, there has been fluctuations. And if we do see a slowdown in the housing market, now of course prices are probably going to stay, you know, reasonably elevated due to the lack of supply in the market. It's all down to the volumes, as we discussed on the podcast a couple of weeks ago when Persimmon actually reported. So that's going to have the impact on their earnings. And, you know, 16% at this level, you know, are they going to pay out the same amount as they did previously? Probably not. I'd be surprised if they did. But, I wouldn't expect to see, a complete scrapping of the dividend from Persimmon. By any stretch of the imagination, they're generating huge amounts of cash. But I think we'll probably start to see a more sensible yield if, in a hypothetical situation that we start to see Persimmon trade dead flat through into next earnings, that yield will probably come down, but obviously there'll be fluctuations in the share price up to that.
Yeah.
But it's all about the volumes, in my view, for Persimmon.
It is. I also think, just picking up on your point there, I mean, looking currently, we've got a yield of 16%, which is astonishing. So they could still cut that yield dramatically and, say, bring it to just below 10%. And that's still almost equaling inflation, because of course I think a lot of people invest into high dividend stocks to look to beat inflation. So if you can pick up Persimmon at this level and the dividends reduced to 10%, and then you see a capital gain, you're still ahead of the game.
Indeed, that's an interesting stock, an interesting sector to keep an eye on. We're not going to go through every single one of these five, but we're going to discuss a couple more of them. So the next one makes sense to look at is Rio Tinto, Alan. Current yield, 12.1%. And as listeners to the podcast will know, we've discussed Rio Tinto previously, but these are based on what was a bumper year for them. I think it was, you know, highest profits on record. So, you know, given the outlook for metals and given, you know, just this morning, we're seeing China, obviously the world's biggest consumer of natural resources, locking down Chengdu, which is a city of 21 million people in their fight against COVID. They've got a zero COVID policy over there. And that has to have a demand on metals. How does that play out for Rio Tinto and their dividend going forward?
Well, I think as you say, Rio's come off a spectacular year. And of course, when it announced numbers at the end of July, first half profits fell by 29%, driven by weaker iron ore prices, a fall in demand from China. That doesn't look like it's going to be fixed anytime soon, and of course on the back of that the company halved its dividend to $2.67, down from $5.61 a year earlier. So it's still, even though that's a fall in the dividend, it's still Rio's second highest interim dividend payout ever of all time. So it needs to be put into context. But of course, the CEO looking forward has said the pricing environment is becoming more challenging. But looking forward, he believes that the falls and the weakening demand in China will continue. But he expects to see a troughing of that. So we talked about bumping along the bottom. If Persimmon bumps along the bottom, the chief exec of Rio believes the share price will pretty well do that in the fourth quarter. So, of course, if that pans out, we've still got a very substantial dividend. And certainly, if you wanted a litmus test of the global mining picture at any time, Rio really is the company that I think reflects that as well as any other of the big players. And, of course, it's very much a cornerstone for investment funds going forward. But there are concerns, and of course, as I said at the start, the indices is climbing this wall of worry the whole time. So it's going to climb, then it's going to fall, it's going to climb, then fall. But it's within a range the whole time. So it's certainly not fallen out of bed yet. Rio share price is just off year lows at 45, which is just under £46 a share at the moment, down from £63 high this year. And you know, really, I think if you take the CEO's comments going forward, he's got a very good read on the situation. You know, Rio forecasting has always been very good. And of course, they pay out a big chunk of underlying earnings every year in dividends. So I think going forward, probably at this level, it's still fairly safe. I think when it comes to dividend policy, the company also has to balance the impact. If it cuts it too much, then the stock could get dumped by a lot of investment funds. And of course, you know, that concern about falls in the market becomes a reality, or the concerns about falling the share price becomes a reality, and that's very key when the company or when the Rio boards meets to discuss the dividend payout for the coming year. So going forward, I still think Rio, if you were looking at investing in the company now, you might want to wait until we get to the fourth quarter and you see the stock starting to bump along the bottom. And if it does that, then that could very well be a good entry point for buying the stock.
Yes. So, I mean, of course, you know, the miners are the highest beta sector in the FTSE 100 in terms of their share price. And that really reflects their earnings, which then really reflects in their dividends. So, you know, given what's happening out there, metal prices at the moment, a bit of a slowdown, expect volatility in earnings alongside volatility in share price. But, you know, Rio Tinto like to be seen as a strong dividend payer. So any changes to that, I don't think will be overly dramatic unless we see a really strong recession, global recession, which I don't think anybody's predicting at the moment. You know, there might be a dip in softness there. So, you know, looking at Rio Tinto, their yield, they're probably set to reduce going forward, but still, I think, you know, over the long term, it will be a respectable dividend payer. So you're going to move on now. Of course, there's Anto next in the list and Aberdeen, but we're going to look at M&G now quickly. Alan came to the market through an IPO in 2019. It had, you know, a bit of a rude awakening to the market because shortly afterwards we had the start of the pandemic, and we saw shares in M&G crashed down to about £1 with the rest of the market. But we've seen them tick up since. They're now trading at about, let's have a look here, they're trading just underneath £2. They have a yield here of 9.3%. Now, I'm looking at this, Alan, thinking of these top five that we've picked out. These are the ones that are probably going to be the most reliable in their dividend going forward. You know, looking at their capital generation, that was up to $433 million in the last period. Mm. They saw inflows, $1.2 billion throughout the business. And as a business that's core operations is being the custodian and managing people's investments and savings, their board's going to be pretty keen to maintain their dividend just from a PR exercise. So, you know, looking at M&G, Alan, is there anything that you see there that would disagree with my view on that?
No, not at all. No, I agree. I think also, given the uncertainty in the markets at the moment, a lot of investors might be pulling out of some of the dividend paying stocks and moving cash into M&G. And as John Foley, the chief executive, said, you know, they've seen a strong inflow of funds from investors, which is a very good sign. So investors would probably look at M&G and think, well, they invest across a wide range of sectors, and the assets include the equities, fixed income, and of course real estate. So it's a very risk averse portfolio that the company is invested in. And if we look at the share price performance over the year, it's not been a huge amount of movement, really. It's a year high of 230 pence a share, year low of 169 per share, and of course currently just trading at below £2, so currently midway. And with that dividend yield going forward, I think if you wanted to be absolutely sure and be safe in uncertain times, this is probably the company that you plumb for, because it just has that risk-averse portfolio. Certainly, the company's stated aim is to generate $2.5 billion in operating operating capital by 2024, and certainly given what it's done in the first half of the year, as announced on the 11th of August, it seems to be on target to do that. And the company's policy is to pay one third of the previous year's total dividend with the interim. So the dividend per share is up 2%. Also as a result of the share buyback program. So, you know, this is going to be, I believe, a very popular stock going forward. And if the macro picture remains uncertain, then I think the company looks highly likely to achieve that target of $2.5 billion operating capital generation by 2024.
Yeah, just look at the chart here. It's quite an interesting move. You know, it's not one, if you look over the last 6 months, it's not one that's particularly volatile. It's been ranging between 180 and up to about 220, just about maybe about 230. It's been stuck within that range. You're obviously getting towards the bottom of that. And, you know, this is one just like the other asset managers in the FTSE 100, FTSE 250, that very much trade in line with overall market sentiments. You know, maybe that it doesn't track the FTSE 100 as closely as it may track the S&P 500, for example. You know, the S&P is a little bit broader. We have, you know, focus on energy, and, you know, that's not representative of the global economy. But, you know, companies that work and operate within asset management and investment management tend to track the broad equity indices, because, of course, if we see, you know, broad falls in equities and bonds, that means that the portfolios that they hold will ultimately generate less fees. So they track them, you know, although it's marginal in terms of the trade. And now we're sort of looking at, you know, 195 yield at 9.3%. I think this is probably a dividend that they're going to do their utmost to maintain. So certainly one to keep an eye on here and look at that range that they've been in for the last 6 months.
I agree. I think that range, you know, that chart really does reflect, you know, the safe nature of this company's investment. You know, it's not just equities, it's fixed income and real estate. So that portfolio combined gives very much a different feel to the investability of this in a period of uncertainty. And certainly interesting looking at the chart, we had that big fall in March, but we've had a series of three higher lows, and I think we're just on that third high low at the moment. And that's interesting, because that does point to it points to a potentially a very strong end to the year in terms of share price performance. So now could be a very good entry point.
Certainly one to do some homework on if you're looking for a top dividend payer. So we're going to move on now, Alan, from the FTSE 100 dividend payers to a company which, looking at the current environment, is operating a business which I see growing demand for. And this is a company that we discussed on the podcast. It was a while ago. It's probably more than a year ago. Yeah. So it's Smart Metering Systems, SMS PLC, ticker SMS. Looking at the chart here on a very basic view, Alan, we've seen a steady uptrend throughout this year. So, I mean, what are these guys doing? What's driving that rally?
It's a good looking chart, isn't it? Yeah, again, just really steady growth. But it's typified, if you look at the chart sort of over a longer period of time, there was a big fall in 2019 when some restructuring took place. But since then, relatively unaffected by COVID, had a bit of a drop in March when everything fell. But, you know, a really strong performance all the way up to September 21. And then, obviously, it's come back a bit through investments and diversifications. But the company's delivered a very strong trading update in the run-up to full-year results. And this is up to trading update up to June 30th. And it quotes ILAR, which is Index-Linked Annualized Recurring Revenues. And these are up 8% from the previous period to 93.1 million. The company has a portfolio of smart meters, as the name would imply, and that is now at 1.9 million in total numbers, and that's up from 1.7 million in December. So the number of smart meters the company is acquiring is increasing at a rapid rate. And it's the company said in its trading statement, it was seeing continued growth in installation rates and no impact on the supply of meters. So that means the meters are arriving as quickly as they can be installed, which is a good thing. The other aspect of the business is the company supplies grid scale batteries, so it's if you like reserve power for the grid, and the company announced that it's the first 50 megawatts have been installed are performing ahead of expectations. With the total pipeline the group owns is now 760 megawatts. Again, that's up from 620 megawatts in December last year. So really, really substantial growth in that that portfolio of assets this year. And the company's also seeing growth in other areas too. It's invested into EV charging infrastructure. And it ended that period with 38 million in cash, or 38.6 million in cash, and said full year EBITDA and pre-tax profits expected to be ahead of expectations. The company is very confident. And again, a dividend payer here, 3.75% dividend yield. So the company's dividend of 30.2p that it'll be paying out is up 10% on last year. And it aims to grow the dividend by 10% every year. So if you look at that share price chart, again, with this dividend growth policy, I think it's this is a great stock, given that given of course it's in an area that we all are very concerned with at the moment, which of course is power supply and the cost of power. The company or the chief exec said in the statement that looking forward, they were very confident because of the defensive nature of the business. You know, it is a defensive stock. And I think certainly if you look at that chart for the past year, we're seeing steady growth. And I think any drop, we've seen a few peaks and troughs, but they're always heading to the top right-hand corner, which is a good thing. So I think anytime now, it's a good opportunity to pick this company up, simply because it's grown its package of smart meters. It's added 200,000 smart meters since December last year, and it's adding substantial amounts of potential and power supply to the grid scale battery pipeline.
Yes. I mean, what's particularly interesting about this company, Alan, is you mentioned there the defensive attributes of it, but it's actually in, you know, one of the fastest growing markets out there. You know, if we're going to be getting anywhere near these 2050 targets on emissions, businesses like this will have to grow exponentially. Yeah. And, you know, they're operating in that growth market, but at the same time, they have that defensive attributes, and you know that they're paying a dividend. You know, if you look at other companies, of course, you can look at electric vehicle companies like Tesla and such like out there. But if you're looking here in London, you know there's very few options out there that you know offer exposure to the shift towards lower carbon emissions. You know, of course, you can look at the miners providing the metals for it. You know, that's one way of doing it. You know, in terms of actual clean energy companies, there's some hydrogen companies out there, which are in their early stages. But these guys are out there and doing it. Looking at some of their figures in terms of their portfolio, you know, they're out there, they're growing. So certainly one that should be looked at for those that are looking at investments within the cleaner energy space. So I mean, just to confirm, Alan, with their dividend at the moment, what does that look like as a yield?
It's 3.75%. So, but their stated intention is to grow this by 10% a year. So I think there's good opportunity. If you look at, as I say, the chart for the past 5 years, so we have the 5 year low was in 2019 when the shares were at £3.18 or 318 pence. Since then, we've seen a peak in September 21, and I think we're on another run high at the moment. I mean, that it's a very good looking chart, and I'm sure you know chartists in this world would want to take a close look at this. But certainly, when you've got that stated policy from the board to grow that dividend year on year, you've then got You've then got a very defensive business backing it, and a business that's very much in focus at the moment. Power supply, and of course, a means of measuring that power supply via smart meters. I think this company's still got huge growth potential, and I think we're going to see steady growth through the year. So picking the stock up now, and of course, having that dividend yield too. I think this is going to make a very solid and high yielding medium term investment.
Yeah, certainly. Look at the chart. There's been a series of higher lows each time, which typifies an uptrend and increasing interest in the stock. So certainly one to keep an eye on. So just a recap of the stocks that we discussed this week. There was first up Persimmon with a ticker of PSN. It was then Rio Tinto with a ticker of RIO. It was then M&G Investments, the ticker of MNG. And just then was Smart Metering Systems with a ticker of SMS. Alan, thank you very much for being on the podcast
today. Thank you, John.
Thank you for everyone for listening as well.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.